figure out that time to boot some people out of this server because we're playing PC.
No. No.
Hey, how you gonna tell that man no? He's the host.
He's looking at his computer right there, sitting there thinking, goddamn no. Discord.
No.
Goddamn stupid ass Discord.
Stupid ass fucking Discord.
Son of a bitch.
I like how pleased Cody
also
is.
The blinking.
That's my favorite part.
I'm very happy with that. I was very pleased with that moment. You're
no,
right.
No.
Actually, that needs to be a new soundbite.
No, no. All right, let's go. Keep it going, Cody. We're rolling. We're live.
We're still rolling. We derailed it just to bring it back.
Hey, you just do this part. Just cut that. Cut that. Cut that. Cut,
yeah,
that,
cut that. You can cut that in post, right?
I won't.
I know you won't.
He
it's fine.
Edit.
He can.
But I could.
He can.
Yeah.
He will not.
Okay. He won't. It's fine. This is PZ85 Plays the Curse of Strahd Trainwreck Edition on Podzilla 1985 Network. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I am Cody Sandusky, your game master, who tried to come up with a fun segue to intro the show, but no, apparently that was not cool or whatever. Fuck it. Kaz is over in California. He's playing Bjorn.
He sure is, buddy.
He just chokes.
He sure
literally
is.
Well, sorry about that, Cass.
Yeah, you want to say it or should I?
Go ahead, Hunter.
I'm
go
here.
Ahead.
I'm here for a good shower.
Let's go on with the Barovia. Ian Rasmus Thomason. It's Double H.
Chop cats, chop cats, chop cats.
Our resident Air Genasi, I'm so sorry, Kaz, the man's dying. Our resident Air Genasi, Zephra, being played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hello, hello.
Playing a player to be named later, or something tonight, we'll find out. It's Shannon Young.
Mostly power.
I was gonna say, I'd like to redo mine as Snow Machine Karate Chops It. I'm chopping all of my action and mostly power.
And mostly power.
All right. One more time now that I accidentally tried to brutalize the man's lungs. It's Kaz playing Bjorn, the Blood Hunter.
I am ready for some battle.
Y'all are brutalizing me.
Brutalizing.
Can a man not control his bitch with violence? Y'all are brutalizing.
Not a good song. You need a new song.
Sinatra special.
Be my baby.
Be my baby.
Brutalizing for action and mostly
power.
Mostly power. God damn it. All right. clearly, as you can tell, we're all in jovial, lively moods as we come back to the land of Barovia, a land bereft of that. In case you missed our last session, it was mostly plot development, mostly character conversations, so fear not. Someone has been revivified, so the cleric has been able to pop off his favorite spell slot gained at 5th level.
He's about to pop off.
I forget that they can't see my elbow dancing.
That's right.
But yeah, that's the thing. That is something that I did.
Something he
and I mean
did
the most fucking timely spell I think I've ever had in my life. I've been playing D&D now for how am I? I'm 38. I've been playing for 22 years at least. I don't think I've ever had a more timely spell, honestly.
And mostly power.
And mostly power. I was casting with most of my action.
That was about the time when Cody took the next chapter and went, "Welp."
Yep, time to go. So in our last session, I think the biggest development, other than everybody trying to acclimate to the fact that after their encounter with Strahd, someone was killed but then brought back, was one Aiden Valmont deciding to disappear in the middle of the night during a restful period for this crew in the woods on the way to the Wizard of Wines. They are traveling from Valaki to the Wizard of Wines due to the chaos that happened with the Baron in Valaki. But Aiden Valmont has placed it upon himself after putting out a letter to note that something must be done.
That's true. He left for honor, mostly power.
I think we know what the name of the episode tonight is going to be.
Mostly power.
Especially if we have combat. What do you want to do? Well, I'm going to use all of my action and mostly power.
Well, I can't wait until we come back to Aiden like 10 episodes from now to see if he can handle the sedatives or not.
Oh, he can handle the sedatives, bro. I get that reference.
I would hope so. Isn't that the same episode? Or it is. At least same season? Okay.
No, same episode, yeah.
God damn.
Mostly power. Right.
Mostly power. Does anyone have any non-power related questions before we start going into navigation here?
How do you get away with having no power?
I thought Kaz was going to take the normal joke we do and fuck it up. Like, how do you take the wizard's key and get out the castle?
To which I would respond, sit down and eat your goddamn chocolate bar.
A chocolate bar?
I withdraw my question.
I take my question back.
I don't want to play this Barovia no more. God, all right. So clearly, the people can't see the chat, but we got to have a Dorito combat tonight. I don't know how. I don't know why, but...
Cody, I don't know if you know, but last Thursday, which I believe aired yesterday...
How about say it aired?
No. Just we, no.
No.
Damn,
no.
I don't like this bit either. We one of our top five lists. We did our own top five lists, and Jesse's was top five Doritos flavors of all time. And when I saw that come up about, you know, the Cooler Ranch, I thought it needed to be mentioned.
You can also find dead air. You can also find Jesse Kimball's new book, How to Be Smarter Than Your Friends, at all Barnes & Noble stores, coming soon.
Is the cover just that picture of Lisa Simpson?
It's Lisa Simpson. Well, I'm glad Jesse Kimball doesn't listen to any shows.
Cut that. I saw him tonight at undisclosed location we were eating at for Emily's birthday. Now you're going to make me be like, oh, hi, I said hi to the man. Now we're insulting him on the same show I host. God damn it, Shannon.
If anybody did.
That's all me. All right, fuck.
Anyway.
Let's get into this, shall we?
No. Anyway.
Anyway,
I'm stepping down as pastor of the church.
I guess I'm getting a divorce.
Well, I figure I should alter the battle map to reflect the current alignment or allotment of characters, which is minus Aiden Valmont.
Oh, you sure did. Bjorn appears to be adorned with several things.
I had status.
He's got like a fist and a cup and I can't tell if like he's got some medieval emojis on him or what. He also appears to have drawn a circle around me because I can move out of it.
And Hunter, mostly
that was the action
fist, trophy and screaming.
Mostly
power. That made you
mostly power.
It made you the human equivalent of Kapow.
Oh, I was moving for action. And mostly power.
Hey, Copernicus.
Why don't you navigate to the back of the line with your feet and stand there with your shirt?
All right. Simpsons episode of the podcast. I'm very happy to be a part of it. I too have quotes I can utilize.
Anyway. That's a Family Guy
bit. It don't matter.
None of this matters.
All right.
So anyway.
So I think we're just ready to go unless anybody has any questions. We are beginning the journey to Wizard of Wines once again.
Yep.
I'll sit here quietly, but if you need me, let me know.
I was going to ask you what Aiden was doing in this very moment, but I have a feeling that would reveal data that you don't either want to share with the party or, I don't know, we haven't figured that out yet.
I would assume, so legitimately, if this takes place, how much longer does this take place versus when I left?
I would say within a couple of hours, and four at most, because if we went from Zephra having a shift into... I don't think anybody else carried shift until the morning. If they did, it would have been only one person. So I would presume no later than 4 hours.
So I will say, just as like a flashback, if the episode, if it were a TV show, it would start with like a flashback part of... it would show Aiden going out into the woods and using his newfound ability to summon his steed, which...
all 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, he literally had to sit there for 10 minutes summoning this effing horse. But once he did, you know, it's him writing the note. He's watching everybody do their daily thing, you know, their thing. He's watching Zephra. He's kind of, you know, says, said something awkward to her, you know, just like as a kind of goodbye type thing, and she didn't really get it at the time. And he writes his note, he stabs it into the, you know, into the whatever, goes and summons his horse. Then you just see him riding towards Castle, was it Ravenloft, I think is the correct name, correct?
Castle Grayskull.
Castle Ravenloft.
Yeah.
Yeah, Castle Grayskull. Why not?
Riding through the night, you know, and him just, he keeps hearing this female voice calling out to them. He's focused, but he's distracted by this voice, by this, almost like as he rides, you can see this ghostly appearance in the distance that he keeps riding towards, but it keeps disappearing. It's not really there, it's in his head. He's obsessed with it. And as you see him riding towards the castle, we cut back to everybody else. And that's okay. All I'll say about that.
That's what I wanted to hear, something in terms of where he was going and what he was thinking. So thank you for that. So as Aiden storms the castle, the rest of you preparing for your journey to the Wizard of Wines. Now that you've all had a night of rest, I would say that if you took any time with Danica, she's becoming a little more talkative. She seems to be, you know, it's been a number of hours since the Revivify, so she is more functional, probably more capable, akin to what you saw at the Blue Water Inn, but she's still certainly not talkative, we'll say that much. She's kind of keeping to herself near Irwin as you prepare. It doesn't take too long as camp is broken, everything's geared up into the wagon, and Irwin kind of checks the party the same. He notices that Aiden is gone. He kind of, as we talked about in the last session, Rasmus, you saw Irwin reading the note because he would have been the one to have found it early in the morning. But he's not making any real conversation about it beyond the one we had previously. Just kind of noting that he's gone. Good luck to him.
Yeah, I mean, as I recall, when we ended, that was more or less the way that we were talking about it anyway, because we have made the decision to do that. So, I mean, Rasmus is still not really thrilled with this whole situation, but he has come to the begrudging agreement that that's as good as it's going to get. So he's probably throwing himself into his work, I would assume, you know, doing whatever it takes to get everything loaded up, strapped down, ready to go, checking in with Irina. That kind of thing.
Irina, at least as far as I recall, I don't think it was really discussed with her last session what Aiden was doing. It's just that Aiden's gone. Do you wish to, you or anybody, since I assume the party has kind of been informed, at least loosely, even though Rasmus, you have the letter in your possession, that Aiden's gone off to do something dumb, perceptively, just in terms of how you all would think in the moment. Are you going to share with Irina where his destination is, or where you believe it to be, or do you just kind of ease that conversation to the side?
I was under the impression she was in on that conversation, but if not, then yeah, at some point in time, if she brings up where he is, or I would just mention in passing something to the effect of him being gone and explaining that he had chosen to ride off after Strahd on his own, and we're in no position to stop him.
She is, for a moment, the visage drops and she becomes a bit distraught at the thought of that, but she quickly snaps back into place. You can tell that she is a politician's child. Like, she understands that there are places to put on the brave face to not act as if the world is bothering you and you move forward.
Yeah.
But the indication's there that she is probably alongside the rest of the party, not pleased and probably more heavily concerned about what that may lead to.
Yeah.
So, but with that in mind, Irwin saddles up. As long as you have no opposition, everybody gets in the wagon, you start heading that way toward the Wizard of Wines. Irwin will make a note. It's you're probably a half day's journey there. Left. It's about a day's journey to go out, and you would have made, with everything that's happened the last little bit, about the first half day's journey, but with all the delays and the encounters, it took a whole day. So you have about another halfway day's journey there. You'll be there probably about akin to 2 o'clock, if say you're left at a casual pace in what you're doing. He does kind of reiterate that we don't know what we're walking into there. I haven't been to the Vineyard in quite a while.
Remind me, the Vineyard is his family's, right? Not Danica's?
Correct. It is. I believe it's been shared at a previous point. It is his father's. Would be the head of the Vineyard, as it were.
Is fairly populated Vineyard, like a lot of workers on location, or at the time? I'm curious as far as to him.
If you ask him that, he says it's primarily a family operation, though. He thinks for a minute because he then remembers you guys kind of know at least a little bit of what's going on. It's primarily operated by the Order of the Feather. At least most of us in our collective, those of us who are were-ravens. It serves as a home roost, but it also serves as our purpose. Not beyond serving Larovia as a whole and trying to help keep this land as peaceful and safe as possible, but what you would consider your daily task, that is what many of us consider as tending the Vineyard.
I know we were like joking about it before the episode here, but I'm definitely getting that home from
X-Files
vibe. He said he ain't been there for a while, so when he's like, we learned he's the Birdman dude, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is Birdman.
Do we know how long those things age? Like, live? Like, do we know how old this dude is?
You talking about Erwin or his father?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, when he says it's been a while, is it, like, human a while, like 20 years? Or, like, I don't know how long the Birdman people live, so, like, maybe that's 100 or 200 years.
If you ask that directly, you kind of see him hem and haw a little bit going through in his head. Almost like he's embarrassed to say it, and Danica, in the first maybe full sign of life, as she has come up from Revivify, kind of elbows him in the ribs, gives him one of those, and he's like, okay, been 10 years.
Oh.
So it's been that long. So since he's been there, or since they've been in communication with each other, or both?
Since he and his father have been in communication. He says that we have not spoken, other members of the Order have transported goods to the Blue Water Inn. My father knows where I have been. I too know where he has been. But familial disputes occur, and we have yet to cross those bridges.
This shit's about to get interesting.
So when he says that he has no idea what we're walking into, he means literally.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not, this character is not well known for humor, but as a little bit of gallows humor, I guess he might say, well, it can't be any worse than where we came from, can it?
Well,
Erwin chuckles and says, I certainly hope it's a warmer reception. Well, poor turn of phrase with the fires. More open reception. It doesn't take much prompting before he kind of gives you a little bit of the lay of the situation. And I'll kind of give through this. 10 years ago, let's go back. Many in Barovia believe that the Wizard of Wines, the vineyard from which the wine at my establishment, the wines that are transported all across this land, originated from a wizard that crafted three gems to make the land fruitful. Eve maintained that story over the generations in the Order of the Feather. It does good for business. Few things in this land roll off the tongue as Wizard of Wine, so why not embrace it? In honesty, however, the Wizard of Wines is just an old wives' tale. The gems part is true, but the gems that were buried in the earth to allow for that land to be fruitful were born from forest entities, spirits perhaps you would call them, many generations ago. As was always told to myself, my siblings, and those in the Order outside of the Mardikov clan, there was an exchange of these gems as a sign of gratitude for protection from dark entities that sought to extinguish the forest folk. Alongside those gems came our transformative state. The Order of the Feather has been maintained generation to generation from people who... a very insular, narrow group of people, but ones that have deemed it necessary and deemed it worthwhile to continue bearing the lycanthropy that allows us to transform as we do. Many would call it a curse. We call it a burden of service. That being said, the 10-year-ago mark right about now is when the first of the three gems was lost. You see, the Wizard of Wines used to make more than wine. It used to make Champagne de l'Estomp. Was a fine drink, finest that we could ever obtain in this land. My father believes me in a night of errant watch over the vineyard, saw that gem lost, deemed me an unworthy successor, and we have not spoken since. My wife and I left to Valaki. Our children were born in Valaki. Other members of the Order have allowed for our inn to possess the wines, and my father, not being the most heartless individual at times, has allowed for that chain of supply to continue, but he and I have not spoken directly or interfaced in any way. I believe he still blames me, and I would be quick to point out that I, too, am not the most comfortable making this journey. But, as you noted, as he looks at you, Rasmus, home and turning back isn't necessarily the most hospitable place anymore, either.
I don't know where I'm at in relation to him.
But I would say more just a holdover. We're all in the wagon at this point.
Bjorn, at this point, just like cuts through the tension, slaps him in the back, and said, "Guess time for a family reunion."
The wagon slows down a little bit as he literally turns around to look at you over his shoulder and says, "The family reunion's less warmly received by me than your throne tokens, but here we are."
I got more to throw.
I mean, I would ask him because this is one of those things where Rasmus was kind of a problem solver back in Sundabar. But this kind of stuff eludes him because it's a militaristic city, so most of those problems are very straightforward, right?
Yeah.
This is very long-term, generational, like, family damage. So I think he would, you know, puzzling over trying to help fix this, would just straight up ask him, like, what can we do? I mean, we're going to be there soon, I assume. How do you want us to approach this?
However you see fit.
What can we do? Or I think at some point in time he would probably glance at Bjorn and go, or like, what should we not do? Perhaps is a better question.
Open the jacket.
Who said that?
Oh, don't do, what the hell?
Don't do this.
Don't do the voice.
All right, I want 55 bottles of wine. I want 55 bottles of champagne.
coin.
100 tacos, 100 pizzas.
Bjorn, upon the first opening of your vest, Danica is going to just comment, "No, that specifically that."
No.
Yes, she would.
No. No.
Specifically. No,
and he's like, no. "Sure."
No. 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 She, as a woman who you can tell, again, has experienced a lot in these last 24 to 48 hours, but also the long-suffering spouse of someone who is having a family feud, just... my father-in-law is a traditional man. It doesn't take kindly to, well, most people. So I can't imagine that would receive a warm welcome after an unfriendly face arrives after a decade. So just do us a favor, keep the hat on, keep the fur to yourself, keep the jacket closed.
Fair enough.
Yeah, give him the Jay from Jay and Silent Bob, like, yeah.
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 That's not on the soundboard, is it? Yeah, it is. I'm not going to do it, but it's there.
Dummy. Yeah. Might be walking into a nightmare.
Oh, I definitely got to get that one. Nightmare, 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 nightmare. Then Jesse Kimball definitely won't listen to the show.
Get the actual one from the Eric Andre show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than okay, that, so aside on the phone. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so basically just play it low-key is what yes. I'm hearing. Like, let you guys do the talking, and that's something we can do.
Yeah, Erwin essentially just says, I know I'm not welcome. Danica, due to her dedication and our relationship, probably won't be welcome, and I can't imagine bringing four non-Order of the or Feather members is going to be well-received either. Even if, and he looks at Irina, one of you is the child of a politician. That almost might make it worse.
So unless it's absolutely necessary, we will not intervene.
Mm.
Okay.
So he kind of mutters to himself because you can tell his dander's been stirred up a little bit by thinking about this. It's as if he was blocking the thought out of his mind of, oh shit, I'm going to see my dad. It's been a decade. There's a lot going on here. But all of this has been churned up in a few minutes, and he's kind of going there. Danica, while Erwin focuses back on the journey, Danica will note Davian is his name, by the way. Maybe worthwhile to know that. D-A-V-I-A-N.
On it. Like avian, but with a D.
Yes, the pronunciation changed to protect the order, but...
Yeah, I didn't think about saying that in character, but actually I think it's much better if he does say that with it, like in character. Rasmus would 100% like word nerd note, like, oh yeah, it's like,
yeah.
I didn't realize I just said that out loud. Whoops.
Oops.
I don't want to do that around the family.
Not around the family, no.
No, not the voice.
Not
the conversation not about family generally kind of tapers off as you go. As you navigate forward, I'm not going to have you make a perception check, but you notice, even though it is approximately 10 to 11 o'clock in the morning, it's becoming darker. And immediately, like, thunderclouds roll in and rain starts as you kind of approach closer to where you believe the Wizard of Wines to be. Like, it's almost as if a flash storm started coming in within the span of 10-15 minutes. The clouds get overbearing, it's dark, lightning, the whole shebang. And as that comes through, I would like for the... I'd say all of you, minus Irina, who I'll roll, give me a perception check.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, what are we checking again? I'm sorry.
Perception.
Perception.
But, about anything? Are we smelling things or like?
But it's.
I got heightened senses for hearing and smell.
I am not paying attention to anything because I got a 7.
Cass, go ahead and give me the heightened for hearing. I'll go ahead and give you that.
Basically, he just needs to know if he gets advantage, right?
Yeah.
Cody, I got a 15.
Did you? Okay, cool. In your far-off location, you sense something is amiss somewhere in Barovia. Your spidey sense is perpetually going off.
Things are amiss in Barovia? The hell, you say?
Yeah, I know.
To shreds, you say.
Yeah, with a 20, among the din of the rain and the lightning and all of that, you specifically... Bjorn, you hear a pretty fast beating set of wings kind of quickly approaching the wagon.
Where hummingbirds?
Sure.
Where are they? Or?
Yeah. What would a hummingbird transform into? A halfling, probably?
Yeah, yes. That sounds right. Checks out.
That checks out. Anyway, yeah, you do hear like the rapid approach of wings. Like someone is flying in quick to get to this place.
Like past us in the same direction, or can we tell that much?
Coming toward, actually. Well, at least Bjorn would be able to tell. Coming toward. Oh,
good.
Yeah. I pretty much let the group know it's like something this way comes.
Oh, boy. All right, well, I don't know how much space I've got in here, but if I don't already have my shield strapped to my arm, I'm going to make sure that's the case.
Yeah, I reached down for a blade. Because I mean, my wolfy-like ears are perking at this point, so I'm like holding at the hilt of the blade just at the ready.
My wolfy-like ears.
Yep. So, Bjorn, you would hear it flies over the wagon. You hear a little bit of chatter up front in the carriage seats, as it were. Flying back and down, it's now looking or flying straight into the back of the wagon toward you.
Son of a bitch.
In the moment, so go ahead and give me a quick perception check. This is more just to see if you can tell as Kaz it's flying in, if you tell what it is. All of you.
Okay.
Yeah, Kaz let you know it's on the way, so and now that it's kind of bearing on you, for lack of a better phrase.
I'm assuming that one's not like hearing or anything. It's like
no, it's literally just visual.
25 total.
Four this time.
Okay.
Damn. I already hear the shit coming, so I'm like, I'm already perked. Perception. So.
Yeah. So Bjorn, you knew it was coming, and so you gave everybody the drop. Rasmus, you specifically notice as this raven is flying towards you, its wing tips are blue.
Okay.
Does that mean... Do we... In our moment, in like this like flash of life in front of you, do any of us know of any background or history related to blue-winged ravens?
That's a good question, because I don't have anything written to the best of my knowledge.
I believe...
Should I roll history or something?
Yeah. No, to come behind the DM screen for a moment, I believe when first that visage appeared, Zephra was the one to notice it, not the other two of you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm just not paying attention to anything right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to handicap us here, but no part of me thinks that I would make a point to shout out its wingtips are blue. Get it? Like, you know,
yeah.
It feels unrelated to the situation. I notice it. We'll talk about it later, but yeah. It's not something that.
So hear it coming. One of you sees it and notices it looks a little different. The person who may notice what that means has no idea what's happening.
Deal it.
Comedy of errors.
Yep.
Quickly, how big is this? You said it's a raven. Like, are we talking like a were-raven? Like, it's big enough to be a person, or?
Currently, it's raven-sized.
Okay. All right.
So it's,
It's coming in hot, but it's also small.
Yeah, it's not, this isn't Irwin flying after the carriage. This is straight up.
I like the idea that it's coming in hot. Like, it's not only is it coming after us, but it's got a grievance. Like, it's coming in hot.
Raven with grievance.
Okay, well, I note this. It is noted.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to keep.
So I sure as shit didn't see the blue. I just knew it was.
I mean, unless it's coming at me like it's going to attack me, I'm not going to like shield up and try to block a bird.
No.
Well. The amusing thing about that is it is flying as if it's going to come into the wagon and through.
I'm about to smack it out of the fucking air.
I was going
to
say, then I'm going to pick up my mace and let's do the thing. Like,
yeah, I'm just batter up. I just want to backhand it as it comes through. Just flunk.
Okay. Both of you give me basic attack rolls. Let's do that.
All right.
Stupid ass fucking bird.
I gotta find my. I don't even know what my basic attack. Like, just my attack with my mace?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, okay.
Kaz is a bird.
Hey, you stupid fucking ass bird.
The bird.
I eat it.
Give me a different one. Oh, that's pretty good. Hey, I got a 22 total. Rolled a 19.
Jesus Christ. All right.
19. Dad,
you both hit it, so go for it.
Oh, shit, yeah. Damage.
I
don't do a lot of damage
with this. Wait, he rolled higher, so when I hit it, I backhand it. But I backhanded in Rasmus's direction for him to do with it what he may.
Like a baseball move. Okay.
I mean, ideal, a solid 3 damage.
Okay.
And I do.
Yeah, my mace is literally just a D6. 8. I'm not strong.
So we did 11.
Wait, did you? So you say you're backhanding it, but you're rolling a dagger roll. Is that your unarmed strike?
Well, backhanded with a dagger in my hand. I'm.
Guys, I'm gonna need you to explain to me mechanically how the fuck that works.
He's M&M. Grab a blade by or grab a knife by the blade and stab you with the fucking handle.
That's a fair point. Hold on. I can fix this. Ignore that one.
You stabbed it and held it in place while I beat it around a little bit. that's more accurate.
Yeah, maybe I'll be paying attention now.
My shit don't work no more.
Stop.
You just keep giving me bludgeoning damage. The chat is full of bludgeoning damage.
It wasn't rolling.
Unarmed strike, Bjorn, bludgeoning damage too. Unarmed strike, Bjorn, bludgeoning damage too.
So what I'm hearing is that Bjorn stabbed this thing and just bludgeoned this dude in the face.
8 times in a row. That's the impressive part.
Yeah.
I will never row decent again all night. I just rowed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 twos in a row.
Well, isn't that just flat damage? Like, don't you just get 2 for unarmed strike? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so that's true. I didn't even roll. No wonder shit was going 2 sideways.
Not even a roll involved. It's just you're saying the word 2 out loud multiple times.
2, 2.
It's Mitch Hedberg's phone number. Just press 2 for a while. Actually, and when I answer, you will know you have pressed 2 enough.
I feel like that's exactly what happened. As soon as the bird flew in, I hit it with my backhand without a knife, and I just screamed 2.
I'm thinking Cody will appreciate this one. I'm thinking more of the Dwight from The Office with the bat. When he comes down to the ceiling, he's just swatting at it.
yes, I do. You're right.
Irina goes, "Don't you hurt that poor defenseless creature?" And then it flies at her, and she goes, "Ah, kill it, kill it, kill it."
Okay, so yeah, Bjorn, you backhand this bird. Rasmus, for whatever mobility you have in this wagon, you mack it with the mace.
He's quick with that mace.
Yeah. So this bird kind of jostles between the two of you. You hear a squawk, and it flies through. If any of you are following, like, viewing it as it goes, because imagine it getting like a Canastogo, or however you say the word, 1800s wagon, covered wagon.
Yeah.
Flying like on the... Yeah. Like, it flies from the back through the opening in the front where you've been talking to Erwin and Danica. And he just perches, like, on the left horse.
The left horse.
As it does that, it transforms, going from a squawk to, like, a yell into human form. So it just kind of goes, "Grah!" Oh.
Yeah. Better fucking watch yourself.
Conestoga was the name you were going for.
Yeah, thank you. I saw the C in my head. I had to look it up. The rest of it. Yeah. So you just hear this. Again, I'm bad at voices. We know this. A young woman's voice. Probably early 20s, college age.
Oh, shit.
Erwin, Danny, who the hell are they? They mentioned they kind of looked like, you know, you saw them enter the inn. And she immediately goes, I regret that now. And she's kind of holding her head.
Flying at people. Don't know where you're going. It's a dangerous land. You can't be like stepping up on people like that.
I feel like I'm kind of taking up the former Aiden role with Bjorn, where I'm just gonna look at him and go, "We probably should have seen that coming." Honestly, that's perhaps we should have known. I like full on embarrassed. I'm like putting the mace away. Like,
like my bad.
Oh no, no, that's just my reflex.
For the first time in a long time, you guys hear Erwin laugh a bit at this whole scene. It's like, well, you did surprise them, and we are where we are. Just because they know who we are now, Muriel, doesn't mean they... Oh, well, hold on, hold on. Everybody, this, he gestures kind of vaguely to the back of the wagon to you all and points forward. This is Muriel Vinshaw. She, too, is a member of the Order of the Feather. And if any of you noticed the blue tipped wings, you would all would actually, if you look at her now, you notice that like the edges of her hair are dyed blue or colored blue in some form or fashion.
Okay. All right. I will actually like elbow Zephyr and be like, I noticed that. Notice that. Did you notice that? I noticed that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to shake my head.
You'll notice this is one of our less discreet members of the Order.
Uh-oh.
Doing things like dyeing feathers or flying into covered wagons on the way to the vineyard.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a little touch of blue.
I looked away and I just look up. It looks like Cass is doing stand up.
Yeah.
So, how many
microphones stand? So, I got to go old school here.
You guys from Barovia?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do y'all do there?
what do you guys do there? Yeah.
What do you do for work in Barovia?
Well, it's inconvenient to move around in this wagon, so I feel like, again, it's more comedy of errors, but I'm going to try to at least, like, extend a hand out to her over this group of people and just be like, hey, sorry about that. We're all a little on edge right now.
I appreciate this because I'm gonna paint the picture here. Rasmus is jamming himself, you know, relatively tall boy, Danny and Erwin on the bench, trying to reach out to a horse that's like 6 feet in front of the carriage.
Yes.
Trying to jam.
Oh, yeah. No. He's full on embarrassed. And so it's only, I mean, again, this again, he's Captain America. He might be handsome, but he's awkward as hell. And so he's like literally like, if he doesn't get this handshake, it's going to be the end of his world, man. He can't handle it. So, yes, he's like literally risking life and limb to get up there just to make this thing right.
You will then appreciate then as Rasmus what happens, because Muriel will look, give you a smile even while she's rubbing the back of her head, and she'll actually like reach across Erwin, like she'll kind of reach across the horse and try to get to you. Like you get a fingertip on both sides, like both of you can like barely do that.
Yeah,
but contact has been made.
Yes, and that's enough to satisfy. Like you would almost hear him just like, okay, all right. Like full on satisfaction of like, okay, I've made it.
Yeah, you almost hear Danny like, you okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah. You also maybe hear a bit of a sigh from Danica when she's called Danny.
Yeah.
I'll note as the DM that I don't believe Erwin has ever called her that. Maybe by design.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Yes, provocative.
So Muriel, after the handshake, says, hi, sorry, yes, didn't mean to startle you all. I knew there was a lot going on in Vallaki, clearly, so I went back to the vineyard. There's a lot going on there, too. Erwin, Danny, it might be good that you have company, because we might need warm bodies to do some things. Like, the second gym's gone, and there's, like, needle blights and stuff.
Is this loud enough that Rasmus hears it? Because I imagine he's still just, like, halfway jammed in between these two people.
Yeah, no, Muriel, you can tell, is boisterous and, again, not as discreet as you would expect a private insular family group / league of spies to be.
Right. then before Erwin has a chance to respond to her, I'm going to speak up kind of really to him, like back and forth between him and her, and just say, like, hey, this is what you needed, right? I mean, this is perfect. It's not perfect, okay, it's bad. It's bad, like, it's not good, don't get me wrong, but he's stumbling over his own words, like, it's bad. It's not, I'm sorry,
no,
it's
no,
bad
no,
that's happening.
You're fine, because
it's good.
Yes, that's where Bjorn comes in. He's like, no, this is awesome.
Yeah, this might be what we need, right? We can, and then finally fully turning his attention to her, like, we're relatively seasoned in this kind of thing.
I'm aware. I was commissioned to keep an eye on you all, kind of throughout. New people to this land is a little unusual, so of course the Order tries to keep, and you almost hear Erwin like, it's me on the acting tree. Rasmus, since you're right by him, you can tell, like, the range of emotions of Erwin is almost like from the Jonah Hill gif of, like, scratching
he's going
the neck.
On a facial journey.
Like, yeah, it's from that to, like, our freaking pet's heads are falling off, like, wanting to yell at her. Like, everywhere in between. This man is a range of emotions.
I mean, I would just do my best to, again, it's the back and forth. I'm trying to assuage his fears of, like, no, this is good. Like, this is what we do. You needed an inn. We needed a reason to be here. And then back to her, like, we're the people. We're the people for the job.
Yeah. You all, have done some stuff. Some people may have died. Yeah, you guys are good at that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Some died. Somebody got eaten.
Sorry, I'm updating my notes. I definitely want to say
something. So Muriel, you know, says that, and that kind of hangs in the air for a second. You feel like Danica wants to say something but doesn't, and Erwin says, okay. So I haven't spoken to my father in a decade. I'm going to the family homestead, essentially, that I was kicked off of because of a dispute over the first gem. You tell me the second one's gone, and there's now needle blights and other things there. God, this is worse than the two boys knocked over the kettle of stew and almost burned down the damn inn. Erwin's gone bye-bye. He's beyond the capacity for rational thought. But you can tell that all of this is hitting him at once, and it's just a lot. Danica picks up and just looks at you all and says, okay, so clearly things have evolved.
Or devolved, you know, whichever.
Both, perhaps.
Perchance.
So, she looks at Muriel and just asks, okay, so what's the situation? What are we getting into? And she, as energetic as she is, tries to paint a picture. She says, okay, so the front gates are not abandoned. You can try to, and she kind of looks at the wagon, I wouldn't do it by this means of travel. You could try to sneak in. The family, some of the Order is there. There may have been a visit to Yester Hill. The third gem may or may not be contested right now by scarecrows and some other worse things. The needle blights are on patrol. Other things are also there. The family has kind of holed themselves up in one of the main buildings on the property. And that's maybe in a licking their wounds kind of way, because things haven't been great in the last couple days.
So it's not going to be a warm welcome, and we shouldn't just go in the front door, so to speak.
It won't be a warm welcome, but it'll be at least globally, holistically for this farm. But I have a feeling that you, son of the people that are having problems right now, could come in as that long forgotten but now savior of the farm. And I'm kind of pushing him on this. And I'm like, this is an opportunity. Don't let opportunity pass you by.
He, as you're going and you're only, like, as you kind of crest hills and that, you start seeing the vineyard hillsides on the horizon. So you're not terribly far off now. Erwin kind of bites back a little bit, Bjorn says, yes, Yes, let me come in as the savior, the hero of the secret organization of lycanthropes. After 10 years of not seeing the leader of the pack, yeah, that's good advice from the guy who throws money at me and has somehow left me away from my home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing you to your original home.
Yeah.
Is to Muriel, I'm going to ask, you said there's an ongoing fight right now. Are we not needed there first? Is that not the first line of offense?
No, the conflict at Yesterhill didn't go well, hence why they're holed up back at the vineyard. It seems that that may need to be addressed, but currently the place is in shambles if things don't get cleared up there. So, yeah. Let's take it one thing at a time, shall we?
That's yeah, that's the idea. You point us in the direction.
Point the weapon and we shall fire. I don't think she understands that because there's potentially not weaponry of combustion level. Like,
I mean, you fire spells like that. It's fine. You fire a bow like that.
That's true. Yes, there you go.
You wouldn't point the arrow. A bow, would you? There's a fly in my room.
Once you let the arrow go,
there's a spider in mine.
Take it back.
We need to combine them because ever since I had to put this window unit in my bedroom, I've been noticing more bugs in my room. And, boy, do I hate that. Anyway, go on. I'm
sorry.
Hey, it's real cool, isn't it?
You're going to combine them, like create a Jeff Goldblum?
No, I'm going to let the spider eat the fly, you dumb bastard. I'm sorry. Kaz, I'm sorry.
Jesus. Okay.
It's meat without feet, Kaz. I'm sorry.
That's Muriel. That's right. That's right. Muriel looks at you and says, I have seen at least a little bit and have heard tale of your fighting prowess. Be that as it may, I don't know if going head on is the best idea. She looks at specifically Bjorn and mentions, I also know that discreet isn't your typical mode.
Nope.
It may serve you better here. It may serve all of us better here if we can do it that way. But, and she looks and kind of gestures with her hands, I understand if the direct approach is more suitable. I just would like to warn you that it's going to be painful. Because it has been for us.
But?
So basically the options are go right into battle, like an actual fight,
mm-hmm.
or go to the house first and see if we're, or the homestead and see if we're needed there more, like try to talk our way into the organization.
So you're two, at least the way she's describing it, it's either you can drive into the teeth of whatever, she's mentioned needle blights a couple times.
Yeah.
Whatever is like at the entrance or it's kind of patrolling the area, or you can try to sneak your way to the homestead, meet where people have holed up, and kind of draft how to proceed from there.
Are we going to run the risk of drawing anything else to where they're holed up, though?
If you ask that, she says, no, they know we're there. You see, this has been going on for... It's been a few days now. This siege attempt, as I think we've been calling it, has been hard fought. I'm actually kind of surprised no one had made it to you, but then again, we've all been kind of predisposed. Even the non-lycanthrop ravens have been helping out. It's... they know we're there, but they also know that we're held up well enough to where driving into the teeth of the Order of the Feather is not their most profitable approach. They're trying to find a way to change that, but we are okay for now.
Well, then I vote we go to the house and get a plan.
I'm willing to go with that direction.
Yeah, we're a strong force, but if it's that bad for this many people, maybe it's better that we lend a hand instead of trying to be that hand.
Down for it. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's make way for the house. All right, does that mean that we have to? We need to take a different route?
As it stands, Erwin kind of takes the lead. You see him bow up a little bit, says, okay, we need to disembark from this
right.
wagon a little bit sooner than I had hoped. But having grown up here, I know a few ways that even Muriel may not on how to get us where we need to go. So he kind of mutters a few things to you all. You kind of start crafting the picture in your head. Essentially, he's going to try to guide you around the property and kind of take a few back paths through the vineyard where there's more like growth and things that would obscure you to make your way to the homestead building. Mechanically, I will let you all know if you do wish to stealth this, this is going to be a skill challenge again.
Woohoo! Yeah. Yes.
I got this. Stealth, right?
I'm gonna be. Oh, not. Hold on.
I need you kids to know I'm very bad at stealth.
Hold on.
Again, I'm wearing chainmail. Yes.
You go ka-chink, ka-chink.
Bony, stealthy motherfucker.
What's he doing, Lindsay? What's the sound he makes?
The sound of chainmail.
Hey, Wise choice.
Yay.
Okay. So as you all, Erwin kind of slows down, you all would be, I'd say maybe a third of a mile from the entrance to the vineyard. You see it has the rustic iron, you know, Wizard of Wines arching entrance to the property itself. Like through the wrought iron fencing, you see currently like decaying or in poor shape grapes on vines kind of scattered throughout the hill. You can tell this is not in a great way. Erwin kind of stashes the wagon and the horses fairly in a covered area, almost as if kind of he lets them a little bit slack off the wagon, as if like this is going to be it for a little while, kind of gets them settled. And he kind of gathers you all in as you go and says, well, as Muriel has seemingly pointed out, there's a lot facing us on the other side, but unfortunately, at least for most of us here, as he kind of gestures to the four of you that are not were-ravens, over is not an option. So through it is.
All right. I'm tightening every fucking strap I can on this armor just to make it as quiet as possible.
Yeah.
But I've got notably, my there's, cloak there's and hood up so to much. Help disguise yeah, there's only so much that I can too. Do,
man. Yeah. So as you all...
dagger's kind of flipping it around.
Okay. As you all kind of approach, your boots kind of... hit the ground. That rain stopped for a bit, but you can tell it's kind of that muddy gravel. You get that crunch, but you're also kind of sinking in a little bit. As you move toward this vineyard, you can tell the decay is taking place, assuming the gems being taken being the root cause of it. You hear as that wind kind of blows. It's still an unsettled day, kind of a late morning, early afternoon. Dead vines are rustling all around. As you approach the gate, which is open, you, and I'll let passive perception do this, you guys see inhuman shapes kind of moving throughout the vineyard. And for any of you that have knowledge of, you know, history or anything of that ilk, I'll kind of give it to you based on the descriptions that you have been given thus far. You see the needle blights kind of moving their way through. I'll see if I can grab a token image. Copy that.
Are we still on this path here? Is there like a map?
They're like thorny wood elf kind of people.
Yeah. Yep. I threw the token that you'll probably see in there.
Damn.
In the chat.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we have time, we're not fully up to them yet. Cody, what can I know about these guys? Can I make a little check of some kind?
So you would know that they are humanoid plants. They're generally evil, and from the vibe you're getting from Muriel and the whole situation, you imagine they're probably the same thing here. They have the ability to shoot needles, and they have claws that are crafted of the wood that their body is kind of made out of.
Since we're not really in a position to talk out loud, you know, trying to be quiet and all that, and they didn't say as much as I know is there any reason I could discern, like, why they're a problem right now? Are they pretty well sentient? I know they're humanoid, but, like, would they have some reason to want to quarrel with these people? Are they just evil, like, for the sake of evil?
You get the sense from Uriel after that discussion about Yesterhill and this whole siege attempt that these are the grunts of whatever is causing this. These are the stormtroopers to the Palpatine, as it were.
Yeah, I got you.
And as you guys kind of trudge forth, that mist picks up a little bit from time to time. It kind of patches through, but you guys approach the gates. I'm not going to have you do a stealth check to start because you're investigating.
Yeah.
You see through the dying vines, like 2-3 dozen, even further back, you see a couple dozen back there. You are basically, if you were to go this head on, walking into an army, or at least a battalion, of needle blights.
Jeez. So, yeah, we don't want to be seen. Or heard. Which, again, is going to be very bad for me. So hopefully there's something I can do that doesn't involve having to be stealthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, this is as nervous as I've been doing anything in a while, and I mean the character and also me. rolling for stealth, but mostly power.
Okay, well,
whatever it is I need to do.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would say, like, stage one, we were to call it stages of skill challenge. I would say this is more like the investigation stage. That you guys are kind of surveying, so I'd give you the opportunity between, let's start with either perception, history, or survival. I would say history, then, so you can kind of, and you have advantage on that one, at least, because you have people who have lived at this vineyard, at least one a long time ago, but one that has been there recently, to kind of navigate between the knowledge of Irwin and the recent experience of Muriel, where you're going. Perception to literally see needle blights nearby, and survival to see if you could follow the worn paths to do that. I will.
Is this one of us doing this?
I would say for the, since there are three of you participating in this, I will let one of each of you take on those. So one history, one perception, one survival.
I don't have a negative
survival personally, but.
So I have a 7 in perception, a 4 in survival, and a 3 in history.
I'm histrionic.
I got a 5 in survival.
All right, so then Bjorn, history, Zephyr, survival, and I'll take perception?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
Are any of these, just forgive my ignorance here, fey, fiends, or undead?
They're fey creatures, aren't they?
Generally, yeah, like needle blights. I think the monster manual can treat it as fey. Like on my stat sheet, they aren't listed as such, but generally, yeah.
I get advantage on everything. I love being a blunt hunter here. Well, I needed it.
I'm about to say, if you're rolling history, you also have advantage because of Irwin and also your advantage for history checks. So
18.
Yeah, but advantage doesn't stack.
It's true. Yeah, I'm saying that he generally had advantage no matter how it went.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, well, I got 15 total for perception. I rolled an 8, and I got a plus 7.
So 15 perception. Kaz, you rolled what?
18.
Okay. And Lindsay, you rolled not good.
Freaking 6.
Yeah. So...
Wait, is that a nat 1?
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, you don't crit fail skill checks. Yep. So. Sorry, jotting down something in my notes here.
Right now he's writing down, somebody going to die here in a minute.
Yeah, that's right. Shit is going to fail. No,
Wait, that was the survival one.
Yeah. Clearly, Lindsay's or Zephra's survival check. Zephra, you don't know what it is right now about whether it's just there's so many of them as you're kind of like trying to glance through the wrought iron to determine like where these paths are, or it's just the changing situation you've been in the last 24 hours with everything happening. You're not acutely aware of what best means to approach this on.
My focus is not there at all.
You're with Erwin and Muriel there, you have a lay of the land. Like, Erwin had a general idea, and you're kind of being able to help serve as moderator between the someone who's been there and the someone who was. And generally, you've had some experience in places that are ornately laid out maze-like in your travels as a hunter, so...
I know what farms are, how farms are set up. Or why, what, wait, this is a vineyard, my bad.
Yeah, it's a vineyard.
I mean, it's a type of farm.
I do like alcohols and wines. So.
That's right, you know, alcohols and beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have...
One of these places, a time or two.
Yeah, you generally know the layout of this kind of place, and combined with the knowledge of Erwin and Muriel, you kind of know what winding path you could take most successfully to get there.
And Rasmus, it's making me thirsty, too.
Well, I mean, they did say a lot of stuff's dying, as you can see, so I don't know if you're getting a lot to drink here, bud. Rasmus, you specifically, unlike Zephra, you've kind of become attuned right now to the situation. You're tapping in a little bit of that military experience, or at least military upbringing brain. You're kind of following the cadences of these needle blights. They're generally, right now, predictable. They're not alerted to your presence, so they have no reason to break ranks. It just seems like a semi-organized surveillance march. So they're kind of pursuing set paths. They seem to have some insight on where they feel they need to go.
Okay.
So you've picked up on that. So between you and Erwin and them, you feel that you are comfortable making your way, at least to start.
Okay. Yeah, whatever I'm gleaning from this, just for flavor's sake, I'm sharing with whoever's kind of leading the charge. Since they know the place better than I am, I'm just going to point out, like, patrol routes and, hey, these guys never really seem to go to this base, or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after about, you probably monitor about 10, 15 minutes, you guys have at least enough gathered knowledge among all of you to go ahead and maybe try to take this on. Because Erwin and Muriel and Danica, all three, look at each other and look at you almost as if to say, they're, again, not saying it out loud much to avoid any attention, but you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So let's you all take on... The next step of the process, your opportunities, or at least your skills that you can use in this one is a bit more open. You're navigating now, so I would say you guys have acrobatics, stealth, arcana, perception, intimidation, although be aware of that. And I would say for those of you that cast spells, those are also available to you.
All I can say is I'm fairly acrobatic, so I'm going to be bobbing and weaving through here.
Did you say perception was one again?
Perception is one again, yeah.
I'm going to stay on the perception train. I mean, I don't have a specific... Most of my spells are healing-based. Or, I mean, for that matter, I have, like aid and that kind of stuff. I can at least assist... Not aid. Bless is the one that assists. Well, that's just attack or saving throws.
Out of curiosity, where are we in relation to this house building place that we're trying to get to? Like, is there these creatures between us and them? Is there a field?
The large expanse of the vineyard, or at least this front level as you enter the gate, I would say like the largest portion of the vines and the field is between you and where you seem to be going.
Is it an overly dry area? I know it sounds like a weird question, but like, is it fairly dry or...
Dry in the sense that, I mean, a lot of these vines have died, so you have like decaying plant matter and stuff like that that's going to like crinkle and stuff as you move through it. The weather has been, you could tell it has rained here heavily recently. It's not currently raining that heavy. I'd say it's kind of like a mist, and that's even oscillating back and forth.
Yeah.
Cody, can I wait to make my check until other people do? Because I do have a spell that would be handy in the moment.
Okay.
In case I need to do that and not. But otherwise, I'd like to lay claim to perception again. Again, I got a +7 to perception. So
we're still all close together, right?
Yes. Yeah, nobody's broken rank. At this point, so, you get the feeling as things are going to your, to borrow a favorite reference from us, you're the Ghostbusters climbing up the staircase. You're all staying in a line, kind of going through.
Fantastic. Only get to 20.
We're on the fourth floor. Throw up.
So, like, Bjorn wants to talk to Rasmus and just kind of figure out, well, okay, I've got a thought where we could potentially distract them if we want to get them in a different direction so we can get there more quickly, or at least perhaps more quickly.
If they might follow a rustling noise, I can cast Gust on something.
Well, but there's a lot of them. And my concern is that might pull, three, but I'm assuming there's like significant numbers in front here, right?
My other concern is right now they're not alerted to anything. That's heightening them. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good back pocket plan, but if they're not alert yet, I don't think we need to give them reason to be alerted.
Okay, because I was going to suggest we could light an arrow and chunk it to the other side and get them going over there while we get to the family and get them out.
I don't know that we're trying to get them out. I think we're trying to get them fight through there. Like, get to them and then fight back against these things. I think those are all good back pocket plans. I think we should hold on to that if we need it. But if we do it now, we heighten them at a point where they're not heightened at all. Yeah. Currently, they have no reason to be concerned because they don't even know we're here.
Yes.
This is, as we talk about this, this is how I play stealth video games, by the way. I'm not throwing a rock to distract things until I think something has an idea of where I am, and then I'll be like, oh, go over there.
Yeah.
Unless I literally cannot get
there, it's too late.
No, because you distract them and go somewhere else. That's when you want to distract them. That's when you want them to think that there's something happening on the other side.
We'll play this one out. We'll see.
I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think if we fail, we're going to immediately be caught. I don't think it's a one and done. I think it's a, hey, they think they saw something over there. Now's the time to rustle some leaves on the other side or to throw a rock or light an arrow. Okay. I mean, you got to think even too, in a night sky, you light an arrow and you shoot it. If somebody sees where it came from, that's just as dangerous as where it lands.
So if we're popping through the vineyard here, I'm assuming there's enough like greenery or at least brownery of what's left that blocks decent vision as far as we're not going out there
if we can be seen. That's
well, we
that's
gotta go through somewhere. We got either the fence line or.
That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting on a prompt for that. Until I'm told that we're going to be seen, I'm waiting on that.
And now I will just say, at least thus far, you have not encroached very far to the property. Like, you're skirting the fence line, kind of making your first L turn to go toward, for lack of an option, north, where the homestead buildings are. But you currently aren't seeing any needle blights out of their current rotation. Like what you guys observed and ascertained in the first stage, you still are seeing that behavior.
So there's none between us and the place we're trying to get to.
I mean, there's some moving around, but currently you are not like in crossing paths in the circuit of any of these needle blights.
Gotcha. Okay. This whole time I thought you were saying that there was some in between us known.
Yeah, though there's a few dozen of them just generally in this vineyard area between where you start and where you're going. They're just currently moving in patterns you're thus far avoiding, and also they are not known of your presence yet.
All right, I am going to stealthily, acrobatically make my way toward that building.
Okay.
In the moment, now.
All right. It's our acrobatics for Bjorn.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until those two roll, and then I'll see if I need to do something.
17.
Exactly. Okay.
I don't know what it's going to do for me, but I'm going to use our Arcana for mine, because it has better stats for me than some of the other.
It's funny that it says I have a bunch of spells, but I have zero to Arcana. I don't have spells. I have fucking divine favors.
I have a dirty 20.
Hey, oh, okay. Nice.
All right, well, then no spell casting for me. I'm just going to stick to my perception.
Before you do that, let me go ahead and give you some of the lay of the land of what's been done so far.
Okay.
Bjorn, you are able to deftly maneuver. Like, I would say you're almost like long striding. You seem to have a lot of confidence in this moment, and so far, maybe chalk it up to you having transformed twice in 2 days. You feel like you're moving as if you're in an animal form. Easily making your way around, you're able to kind of leap a couple of strides at a time. You're avoiding overgrown plant life on the ground. You're having a good go of it. And in fact, so much so, you've kind of separated from the pack a little bit, almost as if you're leading this endeavor. Zephra, you, with your Arcana check, you see the blights and you recall stories that you have told and have been told in the past that needle blights only have a 60 feet view in radius. They are blind sight after that. They are blind beyond 60 feet.
Okay.
And that they're generally not that perceptive. So you feel comfortable that if you mind your positioning, you mind where your feet are landing, and maybe in the case of Bjorn, who seems to be overzealous, but so far doing so quite well,
sneaky,
you'll be okay. Or at least you feel that you can keep yourself out of their attention if you keep a good distance away while you're maneuvering.
Okay.
And you would also know with that their needles only cast that far as well.
Okay.
Is the range of their sight.
Gotcha.
Perception, assuming then? By that distance, they probably lose some accuracy too, huh? Mm-hmm.
24 total.
Ooh, yeah.
So, and as for your
perception?
Yeah. You, now that you're in the thick of it, you know, cue the meme, you are very much able to ascertain what their patterns are. And you, kind of like Bjorn, are feeling quite confident after that first investigation and now being in the maze of the vineyard that you have picked up the pattern you need to follow to get to the homestead.
Okay.
And so it's almost at this point, Bjorn, you notice that Muriel, having been here most recently, is keeping fairly good pace with you. Erwin, let me give him a pick. Yeah. Erwin is likewise having a good luck keeping up with you, Rasmus. Again, between your observation and, again, what he knows of how this place has been laid out over generations. Okay. You all have thus far made it through relatively unscathed. And by that, I mean totally unscathed. You do not have any needle blights on your trail. Now, they are still moving in their circuit patterns. But so far, all of you are very aware of where to stay out. Zephra, you have Irina, probably, and Danica probably following nearby you. And again, the knowledge you have, Danica's knowledge, at least a bit of the vineyard as well, a little bit less sharp over the years that they have not been here. You all are making it through as well. So as you all kind of fan out a little bit, if you were to picture kind of the wide berth of the vineyard going toward the homestead buildings, you are all probably on the right side if you were to split it in half. But within that right side, you guys have taken three different paths to get there. You are about two-thirds the way through, maybe even three-quarters. Like, you're almost through the clearing to get through it.
I know it's not as, like, vineyards have the perfectly well-defined kind of pathways and so forth, but some reason I have this vision, overhead vision from Jurassic Park where the velociraptors are going through the field. There's just this line of,
Yeah, I'm
assuming that we are pretty much making our way to the door, or is there any obstacle? Have we run into anything? Because as far as from my point of view, like, I want to get to the doorway, and I'm not really, like, I don't want to, like, startle anybody necessarily inside. I won't just, like, blast through and get, and somebody end up smacking me like the bird into, you know, somebody else's hammer. So, right and assuming that I make my way to the door itself?
You guys have made it to the edge of the vineyard, like the actual field of vines and grapes at this point. You now see that you have the homestead in front of you. You have two buildings, kind of one on your left. It looks like the main home property, and then the stables and kind of like a loading area to your right. Those are your two best paths to get to where you're going. But as you've reached the end of the property, you also notice that because you are where you're at, you're no longer moving deftly through vines to avoid the sight and kind of the attention of the needle blights. This last moment is open area to get to where you're going. So it's going to be quick decision and haul ass. And it's said as much to you by Erwin and Muriel that we need to pick where we're at and let's go.
Definitely, from my point of view, I think we ought to head for the house, the main building.
Okay.
Rasmus, thoughts? I'm assuming we're all kind of huddled at the edge there to make a quick decision.
We're trying to go anyway. I don't see any.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. Just want to make sure we're all running in the right direction.
Yeah.
Since it's open field here, I'm assuming that they.
If the goal is to get to the house and that's where everybody is, then I see no functional benefit in going to the stable first.
Nope.
No.
And I'm assuming one is no closer than the other.
No, you're both both about where you're at.
Okay.
How far like from the field to the house is like halfway to the house? Is it possible we can hit that 60-foot mark from the edge? Like, is it 100? Like.
Yeah, I'd say it's a couple hundred feet. Like if you were to.
So if we can get at least 60 feet out of here before anything notices us, we should be home free.
Yeah. That's why I want to know what's available to us here.
So in front of the house as it sits, you have like a covered porch area, but in front of it is a few stacks of barrels, almost as if like that's where stuff was getting ready to be loaded, or just old barrels from, you know, previous vintages that they're just before everything kicked off, maybe have been moved from one place to another. But you have a series of barrels in front of the house, but that's about it in the way of cover. Everything else, you notice the shutters are closed on the windows. You get the feeling they've been trying to fortify as best they can.
Are those barrels near us, like, or is that still across the open?
It's going to be mechanically, it's going to be a skill check for you to get like in that cover and then trying to make your way in from there.
It'll be a Metal Gear Solid.
Because this is the first time you are in open field outside. You don't have the natural cover of all the vines and everything that's been overgrown in the meantime. You are now in open air trying to get to the end goal.
Right. I guess where I'm saying is like there's no like junk areas that's just at the edge of the field that was like other debris or something. That's not where the barrels are. The barrels are against the house.
Like, they're all close to where the porch is at. Yeah.
Yeah. That's more of a late stage thing, not a what it can't help us right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So essentially at this point, your big options are athletics, acrobatics, or again, if you have spells available to you, you could pop off that as well.
Athletics, acrobatics, or spells.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm down for some athletics. I'm making way.
I mean, I have a +2 to acrobatics, and that's as good as that gets. So.
Both of mine suck, so it kind of doesn't matter which I do.
Yeah, this is the part where I feel like we might be in trouble, because I don't have any spells that are good for this. I mean, mine are not until they get up to me. I can certainly try to suppress strong emotions in them if given the opportunity.
That's just getting the fear down. Yeah, do you think this is a moment where we could?
Slightly
how do we
regretting
feel about
not
the distraction
choosing the spell
idea
that lets me make fog?
wait, say that again.
I'm regretting not taking the spell that lets me make fog.
Oh, it doesn't have it.
I thought you were saying you had.
Yeah, I was about to say.
No, I would have called that out already. I would have called that out already if I had it, but I passed on it.
Is it possible to make rudimentary smoke bombs? I'm joking.
No.
Yeah.
Distraction moment, if you please. Like, if you want to get their attention somewhere else, then that possibly would give you advantage on the dash. I'm hoping that Cody give it.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea this close at trying to draw them away from the main area and then just making a mad dash for it.
Even just looking away, if we can get 5 paces out, or well, I'm being less than generous. If we can get 8 or 9 paces out, like we could be out of sight range and get there. And the whispering, the wind thing could be what we need to get like their vision off in an advantage moment.
Well, and I don't mind. I don't hate the idea of you know, like you said, gust of wind, that's something that's not going to leave a physical marker behind or anything like that that they can track. So I don't hate that plan if we want to try that.
How far away can you cast it? Or
it's within a 30-foot range.
Yeah, but that's
and
okay.
I can either make leaves rustle or, like, I don't want to draw their attention to either of the buildings, but, like, you can make, like, shutter slam and stuff. Or if there is something small enough around us, it can be pushed up to 10 feet away, but they're far enough away, that's not going to help. So, like, the leaf rustling would be the route I'd go, but, again, depending on how far away from us they are.
Trying to see if I got anything in my inventory. Right now, Bjorn's opening up. Well, he ain't got no bag. He's just kind of checking his pockets and... Excuse me.
Yeah, I absolutely do not have... This character, anyway, does not have, like, clever solutions to problems like that. His spells are very, very specific. And all of his inventory is, too. So...
Yeah. Only thing I can do is, like, pop off a flaming bolt, perhaps, but that could end up creating more problems than benefit.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, I don't hate the idea of a little gust of wind and rattling some leaves or whatever, but anything that's potentially going to start a fire is maybe a little too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for what it's worth, like, I'm ready for the dash, but I know that this is trying to find some extra benefit for you to bust out across there without getting seen with all that armor on.
I mean, I have a +2 to acrobatics, so it's weirdly the athletics I'm not very good at. So
yeah, I'm good on the athletics.
Acrobatics, whatever you guys want to do, I'm gonna be making an acrobatics check one way or another.
I'm gonna sit here quietly still.
Let's make a move for it. Let's do it.
Yep.
All right, please give me an athletics and an acrobatics check.
Oh, shit,
that wasn't. Posted.
I mean, that could have been a hell of a lot worse. 19 total.
16 on me. 17.
Okay. All right. I will say currently, at least where you're going, Rasmus, you succeed. You are able to kind of get through where you're going, again, much like what you had been doing in the vines. It feels like almost you're taking long strides even in your chainmail to kind of get where you're going, get behind those barrels and start to make your way toward the door. Bjorn.
You said it was, sorry, real quick. It was like thundering, right? Like there's a thunderstorm that's rolled into the area.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's totally unrealistic that I'm probably trying to time my movement with like rolls and peals of thunder so that the chain's not, you know,
as
easily heard. I don't know, I'm just trying to think of a non-mechanical reason for that. Mm-hmm.
No, that absolutely works. Bjorn, yours is more of a... Because I'll just use the mechanical phrase for it. You have more of a mixed bag. Yours is more of a mixed success. You're able to make your way through. You start hightailing it toward, again, you've got that feeling. You got that confidence, almost animal-like because of how well things have been going. But you maybe sprinted out a bit too far, too fast to fail to notice the sentry of needle blights, about 4 or 5 of them that are making their way toward the front entrance.
Awesome.
So while Rasmus kind of indirectly took, again, his path to kind of circuitously get back to where those barrels are, you have at least drawn a little bit of attention, and those 4 or 5 are starting to make their way toward you, and their hands are coming up almost to shoot those needles. Zephra, you are the difference maker in this one. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Because I'm awful at all of this. Because if they've already seen him, I don't think one of those spells is going to make a difference.
Or good.
Can I cast sleep on the ones that are running towards him?
You can certainly try.
I'll give that a go. I gotta remember what all it is that I do on this one. Seeing that I've only used it once and it Semi was effective. All right. Let's see here. How? Roll 5d8.
Realizing holding this microphone, this thing is super freaking heavy.
So that's 28. You've been holding it for like total. An hour.
It's sorry,
28 hit points total to work with.
Okay.
Good lord.
So you put two of them to sleep.
And it confuses the other ones to try and figure out what's going on with their friends.
Yeah, if I were at Lindsay, I'll let you paint the picture if you so wish, because I kind of picture you're on the edge of where that vineyard ends and the open field begins. You're kind of looking down to where they're at, and you cast your sleep spells. I know the range is only 90 feet, so.
Yeah.
Narcoleptic elves.
I'd be trailing behind and see them coming and cast it and hope for the best.
Yeah, so you drop two of them that are asleep just off the hop. So that gives you 1 minute of sleep on them, at least as it's written. The other three kind of, you notice they look around, but because your range is greater than their vision, they don't notice you. They're disoriented enough for this scramble. They're still kind of attended to you, Bjorn, but this gives you enough to get kind of crash behind those barrels where Rasmus is as well, as you guys see the front door where things are seemingly locked down. Again, those doors seem to be sealed tight, all the shutters closed, but you're now like right in front of the porch.
So at that point, that's whenever I'm just like up against a door, kind of like knocking at it, but not like loudly. I'm just kind of, I don't want to say clawing at it because that'd be freaking weird. I'm just whispering into it, hey, open up.
Yeah, okay, you do that. So you go to the door, you kind of knock. Erwin and Muriel are coming behind, mind you, as is Danica.
Oh, I forgot about them.
Yeah, they come up almost as if they would be the ones that, you know, probably would be the better expected party. But, you know, again, you're feeling confident. You take the lead. You knock on this door and say, hey, let us in. We're here to help. That knock draws the attention of the Needle Blights as Erwin, Danica, and Muriel get behind that barrel. And that's where we'll cut it off.
Hey.
That's all right. I won't make things interesting anyway.
Yeah. There's only, I'll note, as said, there's only a few of them so far, but it doesn't take long for a few to turn into many.
That's we'll true. See what, it's like Walking what, Dead.
We'll see what fate befalls our characters next week. Actually, no, 2 weeks from now, excuse me. In our next episode of BZ85 Plays A Curse of Strahd. Yes, because the 4th of July holiday, in inverted commas, as our friends across the sea say, we'll be off for it. Most people will be shooting off some fireworks. I'll be doing the mysterious day job, so yippee-ki-yay.
I was unnecessary.
I'm very sorry.
That's your
fault. I feel like I could
you
have
chose to get
headset.
On your 10-minute horse and roll out.
I could have set my headset down and went and played. No, it's fine.
I'll be honest. I kind of thought you were. I probably should have said something to you in chat.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to miss a show, and I'm not gonna. You know, pull a. No, I was gonna say pull a Tanner. Tanner comes in and listens to the show too, so I can't say anything bad about him. No, it's just I feel like this is how it's gonna feel like when I'm booking CCW. Of watching everybody else do the fun stuff, and I'm just sitting in the backstage going like, all right.
We just got to do the Triple H thing where you book the shows, write the shows, and then be a part of the shows.
No, that would be like Cody being the DM. And then Cody's also the main character. And Cody's the guy that saves the day every week.
That's
and it's like
Jerry Lawler move. Yeah, I'm about to say, welcome to Memphis Wrestling, baby.
That's the Vern Gagne spectacular.
Oh, God, yeah, late stage AWA.
Yeah, I had to tread a very careful line with Graz when it came to that. That's why he was always comedic relief.
Right.
Occasionally, he might pull the death shot on somebody, but usually, I won't lie to you, there are a lot of times where he should have, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to take that from them. So I'd be like, oh, man, he almost got him. He got him right down to just a couple left.
I think it would be funny if, as you're getting attacked by these monsters, these creatures, Cody would be like, and then suddenly another character came in. It's he's a Zabrak, and from a faraway land, and he killed all the monsters and saved you all again.
I mean, I won't lie to you. I assumed that's where you were coming in tonight, but it hasn't happened yet. So we shall see.
Oh no, I'm fucked.
I mean you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where I come in. No, because I need to talk to Cody separately, because even I don't know the fate of 1-8 and Belmont. Valmont? All right, let's wrap the show up. Let's wrap the show up.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep. No.
No.
Yep.
So, real quick, in line with that, so we're off next week. When we come back the following week, we will basically be at our 1-year anniversary for this show.
Oh, wait.
I looked it up earlier. We did the pre-show, basically episode 0 for this show, on July 13th of last year. Next, or 2 Tuesdays from now, is July 11th.
I am so sorry it has taken us a year to get this not far.
We are only still in the prelude.
We've had a lot of things not happen. We've had a lot of shows that we just couldn't do and all sorts of stuff. So, no, we did our live show on July 20th, the one that we did from our basement here at the house last year, which will be 3 weeks and 2 days from now. It's on a Thursday this year. So we're coming up on it.
And Cody has promised that someone will die by our anniversary.
I will send someone back to hell because they are an evil motherfucker. Yes.
That's got
to
be
Shannon,
Bjorn.
Are we doing PW tomorrow?
Man, I don't fucking know.
I don't know either. Money in the Bank is this weekend, but like nothing interesting has happened in wrestling worth talking about. I'm just going to say it.
The only thing
in wrestling... Not even Forbidden Door. Wow, okay.
Well, Forbidden Door is fine. It was a great show wrestling-wise, I mean, like, I don't know what you could say other than, man, those were some good matches.
That's the thing about AEW. I don't hate AEW, but that's why I don't keep up with it, because they're great matches, but like I never know what's going on. Who am I supposed to care about?
Honestly, so I think, and Cody, I'm sorry to take this, to be talking so much here, but... Well, it's your show. I thought he threw it to us already. Oh,
did I miss it? I thought he said, "Hey, what's going on for the rest of the week?"
No, I think we just generally segued ourselves into it with the whole 1-year anniversary, and then go back to hell, you evil motherfucker.
This might be your preview for tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show might just be me and Hunter explaining why we might not be doing the show, because, or at least the format's going to change. Talking wrestling news week by week is fine. But the more I read about wrestling news, the angrier I get. Hunter, I don't know if you saw, but apparently Vince McMahon has been changing things left and right.
Yes.
He rewrote SmackDown almost completely. He pulled 3 advertised matches from the show just because he wanted to.
And he did it the day of.
And at this point, they're talking about how Vince is as it gets closer to that Endeavor sale, is going to be more hands-on with creative. And like, it's the exact thing they swore wouldn't happen. And I'm actually upset about it. To the point that once again, I don't want to watch WWE.
I just finished the book about Vince McMahon that came out not long ago, Ringmaster, the unofficial kind of discussion of him. And I've as much as I now it's like, oh, a lot of bad things happened to him when he was kid. I'm like, cool motive, still murder.
Yeah, Cap.
He's still a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit, massive, and I don't want
to. That might be what we end up talking about tomorrow. Maybe PW becomes that kind of like, hey, we talk about things when we need to talk about them, which is more or less what we've been doing.
I would almost be okay with turning PW into like a show where we talk about things in wrestling, like not exactly stories, but like themes. Like, let's talk about our favorite wrestlers of this era, or our favorite tag teams, or let's talk about this incident that happened, stuff like that.
This is what PWU was when we started it. Actually, it's what Podzilla was when we started it. If you go back to the very first few Podzilla episodes, that first one was a preview for WrestleMania, but the first few episodes we would talk like a few news and notes, and then we would come in almost with like top 5 lists like we do on AD. Mm. We would come in, but it was all wrestling related, theme songs and tag teams and that kind of stuff.
I'm okay with going back to that. I think that'd be more fun than scraping the barrel of whatever Vince fucking emotional jizz he's putting wrestling fans through right now.
it's why you're not getting shows from us, like, just to be honest, to the listener in this case. This is why you're not hearing from us, because there are a lot of times that we come in on a Wednesday, like, literally an hour before we go on, and Shannon and I both go, do we want to do this, or do we want to just go play?
Let's just go play Diablo. Here's the thing. Let me throw a plug for you real quick. If you want to catch up with wrestling news weekly, go listen to Asa and Dalton on Nerdiest Part of the Ring.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's that.
Yeah, they're going to be the column. We're more of the editorial.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And then on Thursday, we do have a new After Dark. And Lindsay, we have a new top five. What's our top five?
It
sounded like Martin Simpson.
Right?
What a coincidence.
I got very grumbly. We're going to do our top five favorite Simpsons moments. Although if you go with my bad typo, it's our top five favorite Simpsons moments.
That's the best of the best, like Austin Lane.
Best of the best ones.
From post to post and pillar to ropes or whatever. I don't know.
How you gonna fuck it up? You've been doing it for so many years.
I didn't want to do it right. That's it for me, Cody.
I for one would like to propose pushing out the chive and bringing in the love.
Bring in the love.
Are the horses riding?
Are the horses riding?
They would have to ride late, but they can. I get off at 9:30.
That's never stopped us before.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm around,
man. This Friday.
I'm down.
You know me.
This Friday. Yeah. This Friday, it'll be Saturday's horse time.
It's not.
Here's the funny thing about it, Cody. Cody, here's the funny thing. We record Horse Time on a Friday, right? I make the joke that it's Saturday, and then the show
gets
posted on a
it's not.
And then the show gets posted on a Tuesday 2 weeks later.
I thought you were gonna say it gets posted on a Saturday, but I'm like, no,
it's totally not.
So, you know, Shannon, why is this happening? Why are the shows so late? I mean, honestly, the honest answer is we get done recording these shows late in the evening, and by that time it's like, okay, do I want to spend another 30 minutes editing, or do I want to go play games with my friends? I choose to play games, so I apologize. Yes. I want to get
live
better
your life,
it.
Man.
My life. I mean, this is my life. Anyway,
I will say this is the.
But if you've been posting them late for this long, doesn't that mean that they're also now on time?
On time.
Fuck, Cody, go ahead.
Science. It's science. I will note that this is probably the latest episode we've recorded in a little bit, so I do apologize about that. But
that's
in our group defense, we did kind of just derail ourselves from the moment we all got on.
I got shit to do next week. I got dreams.
I got dreams.
Where's Hannibal? I'm hungry. Let's go.
He's been inside you this whole time.
Yeah, he has.
All right, so for the man who's doing him an egg because he's hungry, Scott Steiner.
How do you like us now?
There you go. Ah, fuck it. I'm not doing the rest of it.
I'm sorry.
Hunter, Kaz, Lindsay, I'm Cody. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye. This has been PZ85 Does Whatever. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.